Can we pray? Father, we once again pray that you give us anointed hearing, anointed preaching. And may a word that is held forth, Father, not return unto you void, but go on to accomplish all your purpose. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto thee, my Lord, my Redeemer, my strength. Amen. I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And also, it may be a bit late, but it's still better late than never. I bring you greetings and also rejoice with you for your recently concluded 75th anniversary. I thought it was a very grand one. Congratulations. And God has been good to each one of you and to this wonderful church. I also like to thank you for this invitation to come and speak to you all from the Word of God, of course. And I like your choice of the book was Hebrews. It's excellent as far as I'm concerned. And thank you for asking me to preach from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. And why I say so is because I think that we live in a society that is extremely disordered, and it's a sick society. If you care to look around, and then you see what I'm trying to say is that it's a dystopian society. It's not utopia that we look at. I mean, Christ has ushered in the kingdom of God, and yet you look at the happenings around the world, and you know, immediate vicinity, and we're so disillusioned. I just bring to your recall the recent incident up in Malaysia where a 14-year-old boy stepped about more than 200 times a 16-year-old schoolgirl. I mean, you can imagine the viciousness, the brutality that were exercised. It must be the product of a mind that's totally sick, disordered. And there's a dysfunctional kind of a system that we have. And that is the very antithesis of the kingdom of God. And we kind of live in a kind of a tension, as it were, between already but not yet. The kingdom of God has been ushered in, but it's not yet there. And there's nothing you and I can do about that. We can play our little part, but what is going on in the world is unstoppable. And it is according to the ordained will of God. It's in the providence of God. We have to accept that. I thank you for giving me this privilege to speak to you on belief and unbelief, and therein I think lies the crux of the problem. What I've just mentioned is the offshoot of unbelief. It's the offshoot of denying the existence of God. It's worshipping the creature and not the Creator. I mean, the evidence of a God is always there. And we cannot accept a society that dismisses God, sidelines God altogether, when He is the absolute sovereign creator of the universe. And this world cannot come about out of nothing. Because out of nothing, nothing comes. Ex nihilo, nihil fit. But sadly, this is the case that divides us, those in Christ and those outside Christ. Belief and unbelief. That's the title that's been given. And the text that's given to me is based on Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. It says that by faith, harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not when she had received the spies with peace. Well, the Bible tells us very clearly, and as I've always said, I like the way the Apostle John addresses, you know, issues of life. He's never kind of equivocal. I mean, too much of our problems lie in the fact that we are too equivocal. God created male and female. That's clear cut. But our mind will come up with different permutations and combinations of the gender. I don't know how many of these exist, because it's still ongoing. Clear cut. You're either godly or ungodly. You either walk in the light or you walk in darkness. You look at 1 John. You either have the spirit of truth or you have the spirit of error. You either love God or you love the world. And we are told, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So I say that this is a matter of a divide that will make the difference. And you have to have faith. Faith is a vital element, and I like this book of Hebrews because it's about faith. I like this book of Hebrews because it's whether you enter into God's rest or you are outside God's rest. Whether you get into the land of Canaan or you don't land in Canaan, or you perish in the wilderness. The pick is yours. But the determining factor is faith. That's why this beautiful chapter of chapter 11 is a book of faith. And God tells us what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it's so essential that it tells us and emphasizes the importance of faith, because God says in His Word that without faith it is impossible to please Him, that they that come to God must believe that He is, and it is a reward of them that diligently seek Him. This is it. And it's so important because the author of Hebrews, in chapter 4, verse 2, how you receive the message, how you receive the gospel, depends on whether it is mixed with faith. How do you receive God's word this morning? With faith? Or you dismiss it as just something inconsequential? Now, before we dive into the text, Hebrews chapter 11, 31, I think it is essential for us to take note of the parallel readings or references to this text. We have to take it from Joshua chapter 2, I think, the pedagogy for reading this full chapter to us. It's very informative, but we would have to take in consideration Joshua chapter 6 also tells us. But I just got to give you the key details just to provide the background before we go into, we unpack the verse from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. And basically, if you combine the two chapters, chapter 2 and chapter 6 of the book of Joshua, it is the spies were sent out, right? They want to conquer Jericho. And they had to send spies to explore, to reconnoiter the land. And they had to make preparation to conquer this strong, mighty city of Jericho. It is no small task to want to achieve that. And therefore, spies were sent out, as always, in order to gather intelligence, military intelligence, you know, to see whether, well, is it conquerable, what's the terrain, who are the people, what are we up against, no, who goes to war without first calculating. I mean, you read that in the book of, in the Gospel, in John, or in Luke. And he says that, you know, you the crucial steps are there, and entering into this picture is this character called Rahab. Rahab, a loose woman, a harlot from Jericho. And look at how she acted. She acted this way. She took the spies into her house and hid them from the pursuers. And what do you make out of this act? It's an act of faith. It is an act of faith. Rahab believed the God of Israel was powerful and had given the land to the Israelites. And Rahab chose to trust God more than she trusted the king of Jericho. When the leadership is against God, whose side must you stand? The Bible is clear on that. And as a result of this action of hers, an act of faith, the conclusion was the spies were saved. They escaped how? By descending down the city wall by a red cord that's provided Rahab, you know. It's crimson. It's symbolic of blood. It's symbolic of redemption, of salvation. And in turn, if you go on to Joshua chapter 6, the spies returned the favor which were actually sought by Rahab, said, "You must protect me, you must protect my family. Once the city of Jericho has been conquered, our lives is at stake because of what I did. And because of what I did to you, therefore, you must return this favor to protect me and my family." It was a deal. And we saw that promise being fulfilled. The spies and their people honored that part of the bargain. And we know that Rahab and her family were saved. They became part of the Israelites. But on the other hand, the Canaanites, the unbelieving people, the people who were profiled in contrast to Rahab, perished when the city of Jericho was destroyed. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And this verse this morning, allow me to unpack it. In this verse, I think what stands out quite clearly is that there are two groups of people. Just as the title that you have given me suggests, that there are just two groups of people. You either believe in God, He exists, and by faith you would accept Him as a sovereign Lord and Savior, or you reject Him. There's only heaven and hell. You cannot preach the gospel without hell. That's not the gospel. You can only preach heaven only. No. There's a resurrection unto life, but there's also a resurrection unto damnation. So the contrast between Rahab and them, the them refers to the Canaanites of this wicked city of Jericho. Do you know the wicked city of Jericho is a cursed city? Rahab believed But them, the Canaanites of Jericho, believe not. And let's look at the profile of these two groups of people. Let me go and tell you what do you think of someone that I'm going to describe to you. You make your judgment. How would you rate this person? How many marks would you score? Would you give her in your score sheet? Well, this lady comes from the cursed city of Jericho. She is a Gentile. She is uncircumcised. Now, you are the panel of judges. She is without Christ. She is outside the commonwealth of Israel. She is stranger from the covenant of promise. She has no hope. She is without God in the world. And to cap it all, she is a harlot. In your score sheet, a score of 10, how did this lady fare with you? I know how I will mark her. She failed. She is an absolute failure. Now, the contrast is with them, the heathen people of Jericho, the Canaanites, who in every respect is like Rahab. The only difference is that they are well-heeled, polished, upper-class, elite, and not harlot. How do these people fare in your scholarship? And when you were to give a job, who would you give it to? I'm afraid the way you decide is not the way God decides. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. For as high as the heaven is better, so are his thoughts higher than your thoughts, and so are her ways higher than your ways and my ways. And in the economy of God's grace, this is the outcome. And so glaring in the verse that we are considering by faith, the harlot, Rahab, perish not. With them that believe not. In other words, Rahab did not perish, but them that believe not perish. Why? Because Rahab received the spies with peace. But why is that so? Why is that so? It was the same message that was given. You hear the same message, the gospel rally for that matter. Some respond one way, another respond the other way. Some look to God, the other one look away from God. Why? And why? What was the message that was given to Rahab and the Canaanites of Jericho? Same message. In Joshua chapter 2 verse 10, it says that, you know, the Red Sea crossing, the victories over the other nations, it's all spelled out in verse 10. It says, we, which includes Rahab and the people of Jericho, have heard how? Heard what? How the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you. That's referring to Israelites. When you came out of Egypt, they came out of the bondage of Egypt, and how you, the Israelites, destroyed the two kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og. You secured complete definite victories. This is the God who is your God, and he gave you this kind of deliverance. Wow, that's a mighty God. But when you hear the same message, one mixed with faith, the other not mixed with faith or without faith at all, therein lies the difference. Because in Joshua chapter 2, verse 11, let me repeat, just going through the verse, and as soon as we, the Canaanites, have heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord, your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth. That's a very telling verse. You see, for the Canaanites, who did not listen, their hearts melted with fear. They did not turn to faith or repentance. Their fear led them to despair and to defiance rather than to surrender God. Just like sometimes when you hear the gospel, there are some people who is up against it, says they would not believe what is mentioned, the word of God. And they will just snub you and rebel against God and walk out in anger. As against those who receive the God, the word with faith. On the other hand, Rahab, who accepted with faith. This is how she responded in verse 2 of chapter, or Joshua chapter 2, verse 9. And she said unto them, I know. And that's a very meaningful word. I just want you to take note of the word, I know. That the Lord had given you the land, and your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. I know. What's so important about this word, I know? You see, that word has a covenantal significance. It's the word yada. It refers to God's covenant relationship with the people. Because in the book of Amos, when God was addressing his people, say, you only have I known. You. The chosen one, you only have I known. It's a very intimate kind of relationship. It's a covenantal relationship. And God never breaks his part of the bargain in a covenant. We may fail, but he doesn't fail. And so when you, the thing that he, what Rahab knew was that the Lord had given you, the Israelites, the land, and your Israelites' terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of land faint because of you, Israelite. And this verse itself, it displays three elements of faith. Faith is not just say, oh, I believe, because the demons believe in God too. You know the demons believe in God. It's not good. It's not good enough. It doesn't stop at that. What is real faith? Faith is, there are three elements according to the what is given to us by the Protestant reformers, and it must have the element of notitia. Notitia basically is a knowledge of the content. You know, well, I've witnessed to non-Christians. They've heard the gospel. They know that, well, you all say that Jesus Christ died on the cross and his blood can save you. They know about these things. But knowing the content of the gospel is not good enough. You cannot stop at notitia. You must go on to assensus. That means you must give intellectual assent to what you know. That this content is actually true. I believe it. And you must go on to the final step of what you call fiducia. Fiducia means it's a personal saving trust. And see, in the case of Rahab, she said, I know. When she said, I know that the Lord, your God, has given you the land. And it was not just a statement. It was intellectual assent. It's not a tentative speculation. This is no longer a speculation. It's gone well beyond speculation into an affirmation. It's a theological conclusion that the Lord, your God, He is the God of heaven above and in earth beneath. It is an acknowledgement of the sovereignty of God. And then it goes on to this final step of putting what you now not only know and given intellectual assent, but putting this into action. It is, as it were, faith in action with commitment. And did not Rahab display this? She went on to hide the spies. It's all given to the, in the passage you have read. She bargained for her protection and for her family's protection. And she did all these things at great risk to her life. Sometimes we accept the faith and we really believe it. We know that we are going to be oppressed, but still we pressed on with that faith because we believe it is true and it's worthwhile even putting our lives on the line just to hold on to the faith that God has given us. That is faith. And that really is the hallmark of the Reformation, is faith in God. The just shall live by faith. You cannot live on your own standing, on your own merits. You cannot be saved that way. You can only be saved by faith in God, and only then you will be justified. And Hebrews 11 verse 31, and also Joshua chapter 2 verse 9, when he says, I know, mark the turning point, that turning point to change a man, a woman, into a child of God. Because she put that into action, she received. The word receive means to welcome, to accept, to open her home to these people who pose a danger to her. Yet she is willing to be hospitable to them with peace, non-hostile, benevolent, is the equivalent of shalom, goodwill, and thereby she switched her allegiance. Her allegiance was between the king of Jericho on the one hand and Yahweh on the other hand. She switched her allegiance. She took her side. She took her stand. Even at the expense of her life, if need be. It's a deliberate contrast between the hostility that was generated when the Canaanites heard these things. They were so hostile, so angry, and they rejected God and disobeyed God. And by so doing, Rahab brought herself into alignment with God's will. And she was at peace. She received the spies. The peace is a very important word. When we are at war with God, we are at amity with God. Anyone who is not in Christ is at amity with God. Anyone who is for the world is at amity with God. You can either serve God or you serve mammon. There's no such thing as equivocate, no such thing. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it says, He was delivered for our transgressions, and He was raised for our justification. And go on to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we are at peace with God through Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of God. Peace with God. And when you have peace with God, no longer an enemy of God, you have the peace of God. So she received these people with peace, and the result is so obvious. The salvation and the preservation of Rahab is a testimony of God's grace, because if you look at Joshua chapter 6, in particular verses 21 to 25, but we shan't go into that. But if you look at verse 23, it's some of sort of tells us the outcome of that faith. Because in verse 23 of chapter 6 of the book of Joshua, it says, in short, Rahab and her household were spared because of faith. The Canaanites, them, on the other hand, the unbelieving people of Jericho who were destroyed when the walls fell. And I say it is a beautiful ending to a great story. But what does it take for us to achieve this kind of outcome? What does it take? I think I like to emphasize the importance of a doctrine on this Reformation Day, that you're saved by grace through faith. You're saved by grace through faith. You're saved by faith through faith. By faith and by grace. By grace through faith. Sola fide, faith alone. Sola gracia, grace alone. There's no other way. The way to the cross leads home through faith and grace. But then this faith that we just said and defined does not stand alone. It must manifest itself with works. You're not saved by works. But that faith that you profess as saving faith must also show in the form of works. So you're saved by faith, but your saving faith is not alone. That's why the emphasis that's given in the two books may, if you do not tease it, if not sort of understand it in the proper context, can lead us into confusion. Oh, like the Arminians, we can also be saved by works. Well, we are Calvinists, we are saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. Clear cut. But then why does James tell us in James chapter 2 verse 25 that Rahab is also featured in, not only in the book of Joshua, not only in the book of Hebrews, but is also referenced too in the book of James? Why did James mention that Rahab was saved by works when she received the messengers, not spies there, but it's the same thing. But in James, he says, receive the messengers and send them out another way into safety. Well, James and the book of James and the book of Hebrews, they do not clash. If you read it in the right context, it doesn't change that fundamental doctrine that we're saved by grace through faith. But when James says that you're saved, Rahab the harlot was saved by works, when he received the messengers and sent them out another way, it's just to say that because of the faith that Rahab already had, she expressed out in good works. It is not the good works that save. It was a faith that saves, but the product of that faith is good works. So we go out. We reach out. Out of love for our people, share the gospel with them. We do things that comes from a man who has been enlightened, a man who has been regenerated, and you no longer participate in the things of the world, and you stand different from the world. So the emphasis is different. In Hebrews, it talks about salvation by faith. In the case of James, it is actually working faith. James shows Rahab as an example of faith proven by works. It highlights her action through her hiding the spies and also sending them away into safety and putting herself on the line. And because of this faith, she did not perish. Whilst the rest of Jericho, the Canaanites who were frozen into inaction and hostility against God, perish. So together these two books, they illustrate this biblical principle that you are not saved by works but by grace through faith. And true faith, however, is never, never alone. It expresses itself in obedience. It's quite interesting. I just mentioned this morning when at our recently concluded camp last week, and there was this issue of, you see, Myanmar is a war-torn zone. And we had just had a Myanmar pastor who came and joined us at the camp. And the question is, do you stay back in Myanmar to serve God? Or you run out of the country? I'm not saying either decision is wrong or right. No. I'm just posing the problem to you. No? There's this pastor whom we're supporting, Pastor Jeremy, and she stood back and so on. But I pose this question. Some people, because their lives are endangered, they will just vamoose. But question is, would you stay back or would you leave? And I use Rahab as an example just for my own interest. I say, they know the story of Rahab much like you do. And I said, knowing that what has been said about Rahab, how many of you would say that, wow, Rahab, she did the right thing, and you asked to make a choice whether you agree that she did the right thing or did not do the right thing? And most of them would say, yeah, I think she did the right thing. But when I pose the second question, would you do what Rahab did? Would you? God approved what Rahab did. God sanctioned her and God commended her, and that's why she was found in the hall of faith. God commended her. And when I pose the question, would you who have said that you approve Rahab's action, would you yourself in that kind of spot, would you also put up, say, I will also do the same? They wouldn't put up their hands. So what does it say? Well, I leave it to you to meditate upon that. You know, it's not an easy kind of decision. But what I'm saying is that in the case of Rahab, she put her life on the line. And God commended her for the tremendous faith she had. Because if you say that you have faith, I say, show me your faith without works. I will show you my faith by my works. That's what the book of James says. So let's come to a conclusion this morning as we contemplate of the life of Rahab, an outstanding example of a woman of faith. Given her background that I've just outlined, the first point is that faith transcends background. You are not regarded the way man regards you. When God sees you, He sees you in a different way. If you have to be judged by God and by man, choose to be judged by God. That's what David did. Because faith transcends background. Come as you are, however sinful you may be, I don't need to know. But come as you are. You may be the foulest of the foul, but still come in true faith. You may be the scum of the earth, the offscouring of men, as Paul would like to describe himself. But I say, God's mercies are overpowering, are boundless. And God's mercies are open to all, without exception, if you only care to come, regardless of your past sins. That's what I like about the gospel. And that faith that you express will bring about salvation and a transformation. It will transform you. You're no longer who you were. You may not be who you ought to be, but thank God, you're no longer who you were, but you're just who you are, saved by grace. I am only a sinner, saved by grace. Pride be forgone. Self I abase. I am only a sinner, saved by grace. And if you come to God, if any man will come to Him, he is a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Number three, through faith in Christ, we will be saved from destruction. As I've said, there's a heaven and hell. You may not like it, but this is the gospel. There is a heaven, but there is a hell. There's a resurrection unto life, but there's also a resurrection unto damnation. Doesn't matter who you are, how rich you may be, how famous you may be, what clout you have. Makes no difference. And the faith that you have must translate into action, faith in action, and a faith that acts courageously to dare to be different. You know, we have that vulnerability of trying to be conformed to this world so they were man pleasers rather than God pleasers. We believe more in the creature than the creator. We worship the creature more than we worship the creator. And that is an abomination to God. Read Romans chapter 1. To the point that says, God says, I give them over to a reprobate mind. When they exchange a truth for a lie. Even if it's unpopular, but it's the right thing to do. Dare to take the stand. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be different. Dare to stand alone. there must be that fire in you when you live this Christian life. We cannot be humdrum Christians. No. That's not on. The Spirit must empower us. And faith will leave a legacy. As in the case of Rahab, she was a Canaanite harlot and she became an Israelite by faith. She was not in Christ, but now in Christ. Just like us, no law, previously not in Christ, but now in Christ. How wonderful a term that is given to us, in Christ, that covers everything. We are baptized into His death. We are baptized into His resurrection. We are in Christ. And she was spared the destruction. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day. That's given to us in Joshua chapter 6, verse 25. She was grafted into the family of God. You know how privileged that is to be grafted in the family of God. You know how privileged it is to be chosen by God. Once outside the commonwealth of Israel, now accepted into the commonwealth of Israel. Outside the covenant of promise, now adopted into the covenant of promise. She was grafted in the family of God, and she was in the line of Messiah because from Rahab, elect. Can look at either from the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke or the book of Matthew, tracing the lineage one way forward and the other backwards, doesn't matter, but it says that Rahab begat who? Boaz. From Boaz came Obed. From Obed came Jesse. From Jesse came David. And we know that King David, to the David's line came the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What an honor! And her faith influenced generations to come, including this generation. Such a scum, you may say, in your own assessment, but not with God. Not with God. Literally from spiritual wrecks to spiritual riches, from dishonor now to honor. Because Rahab turned her faith into, her fear into faith, into surrender to God, and therefore achieving salvation. Canaanites on the other hand allowed their fear to become resistance, rebellion, destruction. You know the difference between Rahab and the Canaanites? Rahab believed before she saw. Must you see God to believe Him? Any one of you seen God? Must you see God to believe Him? If that is the condition, that is not faith. You're just like any carnal creature, require the tangibles in order to believe. I challenge you to this exercise of faith, as I challenge myself this morning to faith. And a Rahab acted when others feared. She trusted when the city was surrounded and doom was almost sure. But she went on to trust God. Who can save? Do you think that you're dealing with someone is impossible? How you spell impossible? I am P-O-S-S-I-B-L-E, right? Space of the letters. I. Space, am. Space, possible. Right? I am possible. And that's the name of God. I am that I am. With men, impossible. With God, possible. Her story is a moving story that must stir our hearts to believe in the God of promise and know He's a covenant-keeping God. When we say He's a covenant-keeping God, you'll fail, He will never fail. He signs what He calls the suzerainty covenant. He puts you to sleep. You don't even play your part. He plays, but He will never fail you. Remember how Abraham was put to sleep? Come and believe. Don't be like the world. Disbelieve God. Because the difference is between heaven and hell. Being in Christ and not in Christ. And that first difference is disastrous. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood will lose all their guilty stains. Belief or unbelief, I urge you, take the side of God and come to Him as you are. And God will not fail you. Amen. Father, bless your word to our hearts. Help us to bow in submission to your immutable word. In our lives, Father, help us to act in faith. And help us, Father, to hide these words in our heart, that we may not sin against you. Amen.